Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for study of the Word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to provide for us to study your Word and the advantage it gives us to understand our situation in the devil's world, the reasons for the chaos and adversity and conflict that exists, the fact that it all pre-existed humankind in the angelic conflict, and that we're here as an answer to the rebellion that Satan and the angels were involved with in prehistoric times. So as we said, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information is communicated and subsequently made available for recall and application. We ask this thank you in Jesus' name, amen. A good passage given the context of circumstances of time is Matthew 10:34-36. And of course, this addresses the conflict that exists in the angelic conflict and that has been deployed into the human sphere as of the fall. And of course, Jesus came to answer that, and he is the answer to the whole thing. He's the only one that could resolve the issue because of the requirement for perfection on God's side. And so a judicial imputation had to occur to make that all play. But he stated these situation that we would face in our lives in Matthew 10:34-36. He says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth." Now, he did say he came to bring his peace. Remember, that's another passage. But this is peace on the earth, which means as long as we live in the devil's world with old sin natures, there's going to be adversity and conflict. He says, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And, of course, the word sword is a metonymy for warfare and adversity, conflict, disagreement, all those things that we see at various stages and levels. "For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." And of course, the reason for that is of the dichotomy in thinking. We basically have two systems of thinking that are potential. One is the thinking of Jesus Christ and God's Word. The other is Satan and demon influence and the cosmos. So these two systems operate in opposition throughout the entire course of human history and are not actually completely resolved in the end till the final Great White Throne Judgment, where all evil is finally dealt with. Remember, on the cross, Christ dealt with sin, not evil. And individuals will ultimately be consigned to their eternal destiny on the basis of good and evil. That is divine good and evil. And divine good means you're with God forever, and evil means you're with Satan forever. And obviously the two destinies are completely different, are opposite. So we're in the study of Satan's cosmic system. It's a system of thinking as the basis of the thinking of the entire human race. And of course, the reason for that is the fall of Adam consigned the entire human race into the sphere of the devil. And God, in essence, permitted that to occur because he was going to turn the curse into a blessing. He was going to extract those with positive volition, those who would believe in his son, from that system. And he proceeds to do so on the basis of grace and faith. So the entire human race is set up in the sphere of Satan. And as a result, their thinking is comprised of lies and deceit and the natural soulish state apart from God in the darkness of spiritual death in the cosmos. Of course, remember, we understand that God, the word in the Bible describing God's relationship to the world, is there's two relationships. He loves the world while simultaneously hating the deeds of the world. So that's rather interesting. And of course, you have to understand the meaning of the word love there. It's not love in the sense that we normally think about it, that you are enamored with something. And the word love in God's word, for the most part, means having integrity. So he was not enamored with the world. He was actually in opposition to the world, but he still had integrity for the world. And so when you see that God loved the world in such a manner as he gave his uniquely born son, he was actually providing a system for recovery. and a means of dealing with the fall. So that you realize that's really not a product of being enamored. It's really related to having a system of integrity. So 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. See, the natural person has no capacity to even understand God's, to understand God. In fact, passages in Isaiah say that they don't even seek God. Even though they think they do, they don't, because they don't know how. And of course, you have to realize the only way to seek God is on the basis of grace, because there's nothing that man can do outside of God's provision that can enable him to have a relationship with God. It's required why faith in Christ is required. That's what starts the whole process. And the reason for this is that he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. And of course, being spiritually understood or appraised means that there's a spiritual life. And remember, the consequences of the fall in the garden was spiritual death. Remember, dying, you will die. Dying spiritually, you will ultimately die physically. So the source of the death is sin. And Adam and the woman would not have died ever had they not sinned. Of course, God knew they would and actually anticipated it, because Jesus was slain, as we've noted in Revelation, from before the foundation of the earth. So before every, and of course, understand the earth was created before mankind by a long time. You know, when you think about the initial creation is described in Job, where God lays out the sphere of the universe for the angels. Now there's a recreation, and we got Genesis 1 verses 1 to 3. You have a big gap there. You have the original creation, you have a destruction. The earth became formless and void. That's the destruction of the universe by the angelic rebellion. And then you have the recreation that follows in the 7 days. And of course, that was describing God's policy towards the earth and humanity ultimately in the form of grace. So last time we noted that the only way to escape from Satan's cosmic system is through rebound and subsequent execution of the protocol plan of God, because it's the only way that the tragic flaw of arrogance can be defeated. See, the only way arrogance is defeated is through grace. We have to accept God's remedy, which is Jesus' work, and receive that. In fact, one of the biggest problems man faces is arrogance and his thinking. And his thinking comes from Satan, that man can do something that's acceptable to God. And man cannot in his own natural state. There's nothing that we can do that's acceptable to God. So God has to do what needs to be done. We have to believe it. That's why the issue is faith. This means that the recovery process can take a while, especially for those who have been developing their tragic fall of arrogance by living inside the cosmic one for years. So people develop habits. And remember, habits tend to become the way that you do things when without even thinking. It's just a natural way. And so that's why we have to actually eliminate the old ways and replace them with new ways. And that's a big job. You know, we talk about reconstruction. In essence, that's what's going on in our brain. We have habits that are described or established from the cosmos, Satan's system, that we have from the point of our physical birth up until the point of our second birth. And then after our second birth, we have the option of learning God's word and actually developing a new system of thinking based on God's word. And many folks don't even do that. They don't know. They don't take advantage of the grace of God. They don't, or they're caught up in some system of religion that contradicts the word of God. And they think it's righteousness, but it's not. And so, and they can delay the development of a grace policy, grace orientation, for years. So as a result, they live inside Cosmic One as believers. And of course, that means that the longer they live there, the more they have to unlearn to actually know the truth. In the great grenade analogy, arrogance is the pin of the grenade, and the arrogant person uses their volition to pull the pin of the grenade by reacting to some temptation with an arrogant decision that results in committing personal sin. So the way we exit the spiritual life is through personal sin, which we commit when we are tempted by one of the facets of temptation, which is the world, the devil, and our old sin nature. They're the primary areas of temptation, or the source of them. The sin nature cannot make you sin, it's simply a source of temptation. This, in other words, the sin nature actually works in our on our volition through pressures from the body, from the world, and from demonic influence, depending on the situation. And that is a base. That's something that we would presenting as something we would like, or we that we think we would like. And we've looked at the example of the woman in the garden, and that's precisely what happened there. She was tempted. Remember, she had no sin nature, and all of her temptations came from external pressure. So she had a desire to be wise. Satan used that desire, which was not a wrong desire, and he took advantage of that and misled her into thinking that eating of the tree would provide her with wisdom. And of course that wasn't true. It actually took her away from true wisdom. But it was she was successfully deceived because she wanted to have wisdom. And that's an example of how temptation occurred. And there was no sin until she actually ate of it. You know, and of course she was had when she said, or touch it. Now remember, she added to the word when that happened. And that's why we have to be very careful about what we believe is true. Because if we believe things are true that aren't, then and then we make decisions based on that, then we will end up sinning when we, and because we're sucked into the situation. And that's a problem. So that's why one has to have very accurate understanding of the Word of God. And of course that involves dispensational viewpoint as well, because of recognizing the power system that God has made available for the church that's based on the Lord Jesus Christ system that he utilized to defeat Satan. So the sin nature cannot make you sin. It's simply a source of temptation. The sin nature has an area of strength and an area of weakness, and you're tempted from your area of weakness, not from your area of strength. So again, the area of strength is an area where you have ability to resist. Area of weakness is where you have a lack of ability to resist or a tendency to acquiesce. And so Satan attacks, or the system attacks, those areas of weakness, not the areas of strength. That's why we're not, God tells us not to judge others, because we can't accurately judge anyone that's not under our authority, because we don't understand exactly what their areas of strength and weaknesses are. So, well, they may be weak in a certain area, we may be strong, and when they fail, we judge them, or we can have a tendency to, thinking that they're succumbing to a without any resistance. The truth of the matter is they probably are resisting, they just don't have the power to do it, and it's because of the nature of their particular sin nature. So again, we have weaknesses that others don't have, that, and they wouldn't succumb to them, and the inverse is also true. So that's why judging is not appropriate. Only one that can make a good evaluation is Jesus. The sin nature also has two antithetical trends, one towards legalism and the other towards lasciviousness. So one, again, this one towards legalism is one who a trend that causes us to establish self-righteousness, and lasciviousness is where we just go with the flow. These two reactors become part of the temptation. So, see, the woman wanted to be wise, so she was succumbing to the self-righteous, arrogant side. She, in her own ability and strength, wanted to be have the capacity to be wise, rather than just waiting on God for the wisdom which would be appropriate for her situation. God would provide her everything she needed along the way, and she wasn't waiting for that. So that's why she got, in essence, out of the timing of God, in a sense, if one of you view it that way. I've talked about that before. Many of God's people fail because they have desires that God actually gave them to have, that their attempt to acquire that or accomplish objectives causes them to get out of God's time. And we saw that with Moses. We see that with Abraham. Even with David, you know, so all the big guys in God's plan tended to succumb to that. So that's a weakness that all believers would probably tend to have, and because they want good things to happen, and they want to do the right thing, but then they end up failing because they try to do the right thing in the wrong way. Because every believer has sin nature, every believer is a walking grenade, but only the believer's volition can pull the pin. Because while the sin nature is the source of temptation, the volition is the only source of sin. That's what we noted a minute ago with regard to, eating of the fruit of the tree, which was the only sin that could be committed in the garden. Being tempted is not a sin. That's important to understand. Remember, Jesus, Hebrews 10 describes Jesus as being tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he was tempted. Remember, he didn't have an old sin nature, so he didn't have an inside agent. All of his temptations came from external sources, just like they did for Adam and the woman. Remember, he was the second Adam, so he was tempted in the same ways that they were, and yet he didn't succumb. We, on the other hand, have an additional pressure, which is the internal old sin nature because of our fall. So, but the power system that we've been given enables that to be overcome. So God's system overcomes all sin. Sin is not really an issue per se. What really is the issue in the end is evil. Being tempted is not a sin. Only when volition succumbs to temptation and chooses to violate the principles of God's word of truth is there sin that results in cosmic involvement. So sin is the gateway into the cosmos, personal sin. There are two kinds of sins, the sins of cognizance and those that are those we know that are sins, and these are volition to choose to do it anyway. And the sins of ignorance are sins that we do not know are sins, but we choose to do it. We are still responsible because the source of sin is the volition. Of course, and that's why Adam is ultimately the person or individual who's characterized as the sin of responsibility. Remember, the woman's sin because of the deception was one of ignorance. She failed to recognize the sin. She fell for it. So she was completely deceived. Paul talks about that. Man, on the other hand, Adam was not deceived. He chose to follow her. So his sin of cognizance is ultimately why he is responsible for the fall, per se, even though she actually led the problem. And we understand because of authority, it almost had to be that way, because had he sinned first and then he could have commanded her, she would have been in a situation that would be intractable. Since she sinned first, he was not supposed to follow her. So his following of her was actually a part of the sin. So you've got to realize the issue of authority there was a factor. So that's why Satan attacked her instead of him. Plus, he wouldn't have fallen for it, probably. Again, different old sin natures. Her old sin nature had the tendency for that desire that Satan presented. And as a result, she fell. But his desire was for her, so he followed her. So they both followed on the basis of the weaknesses that they had, the tendencies. Each person has the potential to become a walking grenade because of the genetically formed old sin nature. The pin of the grenade is an arrogance complex. When the arrogance pulls the pin, the person's life is fragmented. And of course, arrogance, we've defined arrogance before, that arrogance is basically disorientation to truth. It's when you think you know something you don't. And it's rejection of God's word and his grace policy. So that's arrogance, is being something or believing that you're something that you're not. That's the real figure. That's what Satan, remember, we talked about that earlier regarding Satan. Satan's big failure was in his thinking when he thought that he could become like God. That was where he fell. And his mental attitude, sin of arrogance relating to his identity and his nature, was what caused him to choose to rebel against God in the final analysis. Now, it took a long time, obviously, for that to occur, or at least most likely it did. But, he promoted and promulgated that whole viewpoint throughout the angelic sphere, which is what caused the angels to fall. The pin is pulled by the decision to function in any of the following: jealousy, bitterness, hatred, resentment. See, these are all mental attitude sins. Implacability, vindictiveness, self-pity, self-righteous arrogance, hypersensitivity, guilt reaction, motivational revenge, functional revenge. I broke these up because of the slides. Conspiracy, slander, maligning, gossip, and making others villains when we are responsible. In other words, blaming other people for your own failures. Or blaming other people for things which you are responsible because of our self-centeredness, egotism, and self-conceit. So in other words, these are all mental attitude sins primarily. There's a slight amount of overt sinning in the sense of blaming others, I guess you would say, but still it's all about what's going on in your head. And of course that's what leads to the overt sinning that occurs, of verbal and overt sinning. In other words, whenever we become totally preoccupied with ourselves to the exclusion of God's plan, purpose, and will for our lives. So when we violate the system, we go off on our own agenda and pursue that agenda on the basis of arrogance, which means we are trying to accomplish something in our own ability when we really don't have any. And the issue for us is to wait on God, Isaiah 40:31, and allow for God to come through for us at the right time and not get ahead of his execution of his plan for our lives. And as I noted earlier, that was a big source of failure for many of the leaders in God's plan. We see from this that the believer actually frags himself by using his own volition to pull the pin by committing these types of mental attitude sins, at which point the grenade fragments, destroying the spiritual life. So mental attitude sins of arrogance lead to the destruction of the spiritual life. And of course that means you're outside the plan, and the only solution is to acknowledge the sin to God alone and take advantage of God's grace. We rush towards our area of weakness and toward whatever the active trend of our old sin nature is leaning towards at that moment. So that's the way we go once we have succumbed to the temptation. The result is a fragmented life in one of two categories, depending on the old sin nature's trend. And the person enters the trend towards arrogant, self-righteous ritualism and legalism. That's when you try to fix the problem through what you do. And of course, that's a product of Cosmic One. Or the trend towards emotionalism, lasciviousness of Cosmic One. So these are both components of Cosmic One. One is trying to solve the problem in one's own energy and strength. The other is just giving into the whole thing and going full bore into it. And of course, this is what we're faced with in our country today. We have these two systems vying against each other, and about 50% of each group is involved with either one of these. So you have one group of involved in more on the self-righteous ritual legalistic side, and the other side is the emotional lascivious side. And these two systems are constantly at war. And that's kind of what we have going on today in our political system. Now, some of these individuals are more oriented to the establishment than others, but both have issues. The trend towards self-righteousness and legalism results in moral degeneracy, and the trend towards lasciviousness, emotionalism, results in immoral degeneracy. So there's the two opposing forces. The fragmentation includes the function of grieving the Holy Spirit. So God's Holy Spirit is grieved regardless of which trend you tend to deploy, because ultimately the issue is grace and faith. And as I've been saying, the final answer is forgiveness, because the only way you can deal with these kinds of failures is forgiveness. That's the only thing you can do, because ultimately demanding to have one's own way ultimately continues the conflict. That's why the issue ultimately is Jesus Christ, the work of Christ on the cross, and God's work through him that enables him to forgive mankind. Now, to forgive mankind, he had to judge Jesus first. And of course, we understand that forgiveness occurs when you believe in Jesus Christ and then when you rebound. So that's when you take advantage of grace. 2 Timothy 3:2-7 is the story of the person who has pulled the arrogant pin of the grenade and is suffering the consequences of living the fragmented life inside the Cosmic One. Verse 2. 2 Timothy 3:2. For persons, including some church-age believers, will be lovers of self. That's in Cosmic One. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderous, that is abusive with their language, disobedient to parents, ungrateful and unholy, or wicked or evil. You know, unholy means that they're violating the principles of establishment. Verse 3, without love, that is without virtue, integrity, love. Remember the word love there, again, is not, you have to recognize the core component of love is integrity. The 1 Corinthians 13 describes that whole process. Without love, you have all these various characteristics that can be laudable and beneficial, but without love, without integrity, they're useless. So, and that's what happens with many folks. They get caught up in accomplishing good things, or what they think are good things, and actually they're not done for the right reason, so they're actually not good. You know, that's why you have evil. So you have without love, without implacable, that is unable, unforgiving, unable to forgive, slanderous, they're just constantly speaking lies, without self-control, brutal, haters of those who do good. So not only do they not involve themselves with doing good, they actually hate those who do. Now, we see a lot of this in our country right now. Verse 4, treacherous, thoughtless, that means rash or without doing things without thinking, being puffed up or concerned, seated, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So the point is they're seeking to accomplish their own agenda without regard to God's agenda. Having a, verse 5, having an over appearance or outward form of godliness, this is the spiritual life, though it, they have denied its power. That is the omnipotence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Avoid these people. So, apart from God's Word and God's and the Holy Spirit, there is no way to be spiritual, although people put on a good show, and a lot of others fall for it. Verse 6, for among them are those who creep into the sneak their way into homes. And of course, remember, at the time the Bible was written, most of the local assemblies were in homes, private homes, and captivate or gain control over weak-willed women or emotional people. Basically, remember, women are designed to be responders, and people respond to temptation and pressure. So the issue here is emotionalism, whether a person is a man or a woman. Some women are very strong, so they're not emotional so much. But some men are very weak, and they're very emotional. So you have, basically, it's an issue of responding. And in this case, the people are responding to pressure from sin. It goes on to say, that's the next statement. For those who are loaded down with sins, in other words, sin makes people easy to manipulate through fear or guilt. That's why people become religious. They want to assuage their guilt because they're afraid of God. And then they're led down the path of attempting to be legalistic or ritualistic, depending on the tendencies. And that doesn't actually take them to the solution. The solution is grace. The solution is Jesus Christ on the cross. The solution is God's love deployed through the power of the cross that provides the opportunity for forgiveness. And without that, there's no way to even start. So people don't go there, though. They go to religion, self-righteousness, asceticism, those kinds of things. Led on by many kinds of emotional lust patterns from the old sin nature, which would include guilt, fear, worry, anxiety, etc. So that's how Satan gets people. Verse 7, who are always learning but never able to develop epignosis knowledge or an accurate understanding of the truth. So they're always learning. In other words, they're always acquiring information, but they're never able to understand what it really means. And with the result that they do not actually involve grace. Remember, grace is a policy that God has deployed to resolve the problem, and it's the only way to solve the problem and maintain God's integrity. And that's the major factor. So, but that's what's left out of the solution generally, is grace. It always goes towards, what do you do? Where are you going to go? You know, what are you going to accomplish? That's not what it's about. The issue is, what is God going to do for you, and how are you going to take advantage of God's grace and parlay that into your experience? So we'll pick up here next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to provide for us to study your word, the blessing it is for us. Help us to take advantage of the information that you give us, and help enable it to help us understand the situation we face in the world today, in the political sphere, recognizing that ultimately you are completely in control of all things all the time, and that you are in the business of turning the curse into a blessing. The challenge for us is to wait and watch for you to come through for us in the right way, to your glory and our benefit. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen.